The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fallon. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, actually she joins me every morning, is my wife, Ann Fella, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services and the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, say good morning to our listening audience on WTBQ.
Good morning, everyone.
You glad to be here, Ann?
Very glad
I know here. I am. I still get that rush.
I missed
rush.
You last week.
I know. I know.
You missed me.
I kept looking to the right. There's something missing.
But, you were here all by yourself.
but I still get the rush when I walk in here. I said that on the first day. And boy, we've been doing this now over 6 months. Do you believe it?
Oh, my God. I did listen to your...
Oh, okay. I know you were saying you were doing good and stuff like that, so
yes.
Thank you.
I was texting you.
I always joke is that when I mess up, Ann corrects my mess up. You don't realize that I've messed up because Ann kind of smooths it over. So there I was like standing by myself. As you know, A&T Healthcare is a home healthcare agency. We have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, and New Jersey and New York City. And our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare, we're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. We are not controversial, contentious, or confrontational, but we are engaging, informative, and I do want to say, and I try very hard, we want to be entertaining. We want to make sure that you're learning something, but you're enjoying learning about it, okay? We do accept calls on the different topics that we present, and today's topic is going to be on the flu vaccine. The phone number that you can call in if you have any questions is 845-651-1110. And as always, thank you so much for making us part of your Thursday morning. We got a couple of stuff before we get into the show. We have a couple of little issues that we just want to cover. First off, I do want to give a shout out to my class. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare, and we do have a group of future home healthcare aides that I'm teaching in New City, and they've been a superb class. One of the ladies in there, she's gotten all hundreds, which is really kind of remarkable because it's very involved. It's a 3-week commitment. I remember one time I interviewed a candidate, and she said, "This is just for one day, isn't it?" No, it's 3 weeks, Oh, well, never mind. And then she walked out. So, but it is a commitment and they're doing a very good job. Facebook, what's the number? I forgot to ask Tom Babington, one of our vice presidents, what our number is. We don't have to look it, but we're well over, I bet you we're over 1,500. And I think that's very important. As we said,
1,560.
I was right. That's good. What it is that, we on our website and even on Facebook, you can listen to our broadcasts that we have. We do have them archived. And if you do see a topic, and Ann writes a little blog as to what is covered in it, and what she does is that
she's... With the help of Nicole Babington.
Okay, that's right. We always give you... Okay, well, shout out to Nicole Babington. Thank you. And Andrew also is very good. He's the one that's also moving around as far as loaning it onto the Facebook. But that is good. It's a very important part that we have. Funny thing. I'm always thinking about the show and always making it better, and I really am committed to it. But over the weekend, there's a lot of football that was going on, and Verizon had one of their commercials on, and what their ending saying was, "Better matters." And I said, "Wait a second, that sounds a lot like health matters. I hope they're not listening to our show. I didn't know if I gave them an idea. I don't know if I have much of a legal case on it." as I say, this is health matters, and as I say, why? Because your health does matter. Dancing with the Stars. I'm doing things. One of the things that you train people, but I'm starting to turn the corner. I've been having the instructions and everything, and I'm making way. And that's for the Rockland United Hospice of Rockland County. Thank you so much. It's a wonderful cause with a raise money. It's a major fundraiser, and I'm one of the participant dancers on it. And I'm giving it my all like I always do, okay?
Two more weeks to go.
And I'm ready. You know, we just wanted to talk a little bit about something. You know, we had a board meeting last night at A&T Healthcare, and we have the director's meeting, and then there's a little break, and then we have the actual board meeting where all the members of the board are present. But we were talking about something that happened at the Miss America contest. I believe it was Miss Colorado, and during the talent part, she walked out as a nurse in scrubs.
She walked out dressed in scrubs.
Okay.
She's a nurse.
She is. Okay, thank you. And she had a stethoscope hanging down. And what she did, and it was a very touching story, but she talked about how she was caring for an Alzheimer's patient and the experience that she had. And it was very heart-wrenching. And it was so beautiful what she said. And as you know, many families are afflicted by Alzheimer's. In fact, we did have a show on that. And I thought it really resonated with so many people if they had heard. It was just an absolute beautiful thing that was said. And I just felt that it was just a superb thing that she had said. And even as you know, A&T, we care for many patients that are afflicted with Alzheimer's. And it's a technical thing to try to do. Well, anyway, our lady friends, well, they're not my lady friends, but the ladies from The View, they seized the opportunity to criticize it. And go ahead, Ann, why don't you talk?
Talking too much. Well, basically, a couple of the commentators or hosts of the show said that what kind of talent was that coming out dressed in scrubs, wearing a, quote, doctor's stethoscope.
A doctor's stethoscope.
I thought was pretty comical.
Is that not the epitome of ignorance? Like, what do you walk into? The doctor's stethoscopes are are the nurses' stethoscopes.
Like, nurses aren't supposed to have a stethoscope. I'm not sure what they think nurses do, but they really demean the practice of nursing, and nurses around the country have stepped up. If you do a little research on Facebook on YouTube, you can find
It's very easy. Miss America, Miss Colorado. Don't listen to it now. Wait until after the show is over, and then you can go. But I do recommend, I do say that you do it because it is important. And even the thing about, they all apologize. They all apologize. And I always remember this about when I said my daughter, when she was growing up, is that, oh, Daddy, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I said, you know, Nicole, don't ever think that if you do something wrong that you just say, I'm sorry, and then it's better. And that's why they're all apologizing. But I have to know that when I prepare and Ann and I prepare for Health Matters, we do our work. We are prepared for it. And we know what we're going to discuss. So clearly, this isn't something that they just came off the fly. They were going to talk about it. And that was one of the issues that they were going to discuss. So they had pre-planned as far as talking about it. But it was grossly inappropriate. And I really think that, it's all over the internet. But I just know that, as you know, A&T Healthcare was started by two nurses. Ann and I are both nurses, and we want to promote the profession as much as we can. It's just upsetting. And I want to joke with Ann. Ann, wasn't there a medical director who you had worked with who remained nameless?
Well,
and he always borrowed your stethoscope. Reason why he borrowed your stethoscope?
I have a very good stethoscope that actually was given to me by a colleague and a friend who is a nurse. And the medical director always borrowed my stethoscope because it was way better than his.
It was way better. It was way better. Okay, so there's no such thing as a doctor's stethoscope.
And you're correct. The nurse was from Colorado, the contestant.
Yeah, and it's many times that the nurse is the first one that does it. If they hear that there's an infiltration in the patient's lungs, you know, vis-a-vis the stethoscope, they would inform the doctor, and the doctor would just reconfirm what they said. But so often, it's the nurse that initiates any kind of particular diagnosis. But I just felt bad for the families that have people. I know, Ann, your mother had Alzheimer's disease. And it was just like so bad. It was this wonderful statement that she said, and how many people are afflicted with Alzheimer's disease. And then she makes that, condescending, derogatory remark. And it was totally uncalled for and inappropriate. I know I said at the beginning that we're not, contentious or confrontational. But sometimes we have to stand up, and somehow there is this camaraderie as far as being a registered nurse, and I know that's true of a lot of professions.
Well, okay? There's a lot of good little stories on Facebook now.
So just that from it, as I said, you're no trouble finding it on the internet. Just please, after the show, go ahead and do it. Go do it after the show. Okay, so Ann, today's show program, we're going to be talking about the flu vaccine. One of the things that the flu season is upon
us. It's that time again.
It's that time. Believe it or not, it's that time. I can't believe it's that time because I remember saying, you know, that would be a good topic to cover. And it's here now.
Now it's here.
It was over 6 months. My God.
And we'll talk about it throughout the flu season.
And this is a very important topic. We want to educate and inform our listening audience from WTBQ. I remember when we had the one on medical marijuana there, we just said we're not promoting it. We're not promoting it. We were just giving the facts. Here we are giving all the facts.
All right, and we're of course, giving the facts on the flu vaccine and what the flu is. Of course, the decision is always yours whether or not you want to take the vaccine.
And it's always important, and I'll say this throughout the program. This is something that you must discuss with your doctor. There are rare, you heard the word rare, instances where the individual should not receive the vaccine. But as I said, this is something that you must discuss with your doctor whether or not it's appropriate. We are going to talk about the different ones that are available, but it is a we're sorry, Dr. Michael O'Dowd. We wanted him to be on the show. He's our registered pharmacist, he's our go-to
he's like
guy.
Our in-house pharmacist.
Yes, yeah. And he's our go-to guy when it comes to it. And the reason I love having Michael on this is that first thing is he's so smart. He knows everything. Remember we went to lunch and he started squeezing the lemon into the iced tea, which is going to change colors and all this. But he's very
he's
smart. He speaks, and I always say the deal. He is very funny, and he just the way he talks. You just got to enjoy listening to him. But we probably will do like a follow up on this particular topic.
And he does, he really is. He enjoys giving information and educating the public and educating his patients, and so it's good to have him on. And we're going to start a little. We're not really starting early talking about the flu because. I know you already got your flu.
It was by default. I had to see a doctor on it. My back was upon me on an unrelated issue. The nurse comes in, would you like your flu shot? I said, absolutely. And it was done. And
you
all
beat me this year.
They didn't give you a lollipop, though. I said, do I get a lollipop? And they said, that's only with the dentist or something like that. But they don't
the
want,
dentist doesn't
right.
get lollipop.
I always remember, I spoke at the Warwick Rotary Club. And one of the things is that I said, and that was interesting that you brought that up, Ann, because I said, you have no excuse not to get the flu vaccine because you say, I don't have time to go to the doctors, but they have it at ShopRite, they have it at Walgreens, all CVS. You can get it anywhere at any time, and that's something that you really don't have that particular excuse. So, Ann, why should people get the vaccine against the flu? What's the reason why people should get it?
The flu can be a very serious illness, and you certainly could be hospitalized if it became bad enough. And there have been cases where there have been deaths. Of course, every flu season is very different, and the flu affects people very differently. Even healthy people can get very sick. And actually, if you've ever really had the flu, you're very sick. The high fever, the aches and pains, the sore throat, even your toes hurt. Even your hair hurts. That's how bad it can be. It's not just the runny nose, sniffling, coughing, but it does, it can lead into other related illnesses as well, like pneumonia.
And that's what it is, but it's very, it can become very serious. It is very contagious. And you are listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we'll talk about how the flu vaccine actually works.
A&T Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. A&T Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. by working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-343-3949 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hey, it's your turn to speak up. I'm Zach Kruk, the host of Speak Up, where you voice your opinion on issues affecting us in our nation and in our community. Speak up and call in every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
This is attorney Bob Krahulik of the law firm Beatty & Krahulik, the lawyer guy on WTBQ Radio. Tune in every Thursday at 11:30 a.m. for the latest in legal advice and tips. We're taking calls and giving answers to all your legal questions and issues on WTBQ.
WTBQ. And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller from A&T Healthcare. I'm the Director of Education. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, who's the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance. And today's topic, we were talking about the flu vaccine and the importance of it. But to go ahead and continue right, more so about the flu and the problems with it.
Thank you. So, why should you get vaccinated? The flu is a contagious disease, so it spreads. You get it from someone, you can spread it to someone else. Your whole family can get sick from it. Usually it's between October and May, though we do see, you do see cases cropping up from at this time of the year and other times during the year, but it's not considered as widespread. The flu is caused by an influenza virus, and it's usually spread by coughing or sneezing, usually from droplets from your mouth or nose. Anybody can get the flu, and it strikes very suddenly. You have a fever, you get a scratchy throat, then you get a sore throat, you're achy, you're tired, you start coughing, then you have headache, runny nose. The muscle aches can be very uncomfortable, and for an adult, having a fever over 101 is devastating, because usually adults don't get high fevers.
Yeah, and there were a lot of things. Also, Anne, I know you said that and I did get it. I got my flu shot already, but the season is from October to May, and the peak season is actually December to February, but I'll talk more about why that is the peak season. Why it is December?
We'll let
to
the
February.
Infection control.
Yes, that was. Oh, I love this. This was my specialty. It was infection control.
You're a microbiologist,
and I always enjoy it. And by the way, please stay tuned. At the end, we're going to go over. We're going to do a MythBusters episode where we're going to go about like five myths that people talk about the flu vaccine, and we want to make sure that you are educated and you understand it.
So how does the flu vaccine work, Peter?
Okay, flu vaccine, it's a very complicated thing. It's not like a simple infection. Like if you had a bacterial infection, like let's say Staph aureus or even MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staph aureus, there's a specific protocol that would be given for that particular infection based on what the organism that had been isolated.
Which are antibiotics.
Yes, correct. And it's not the same as an antibiotic. It's a lot more complicated because it is a virus. And what they do is they do their best as far as getting a match for it. What I say a match is that there are different viruses that affect at different years. It's almost like it's this virus, it's that virus. Right. And what it is that what the flu vaccine does is that it causes antibodies to develop into the body after about 2 weeks after the vaccine. And what it is that they're given an attenuated inoculation of the flu virus is one that is a very weakened one. It is not a live virus that you're actually getting as far as getting the flu shot. But what it does is it is administered to your body reacts to it, and that's when it's able to develop protection against that particular one. But as I said, it's not a perfect system. It's not the same as getting an antibiotic. And we will, of course, go into the specific details.
Because generally the antibiotic treats that problem immediately, and it's eradicated in a week or 2 weeks, usually. Most antibiotics, you don't take more than that. But the flu vaccine will protect you for a period of time.
For a period of time. The other thing that is very important, I'm going to give a little teaser as far as one of the MythBusters is that many times people say, "Oh, I don't get the flu vaccine because I always get the flu after I get it." Well, let me explain how it works, okay? What happens is that when you get the flu vaccine, guess what? It's the flu season, so the flu is out there. So what happens is that when you get inoculated with the flu vaccine, as I said, this is how it works. Your body starts to react to the attenuated virus, so it starts to develop a resistance to it so that you're able to give you that kind of protection. That period is about 2 weeks before you get the full protection. And what usually happens is that when you have the flu vaccine, what happens then is that you don't have the actual resistance and you were just exposed to it. That's really all it is. But you do not get the flu from getting the flu vaccine. So that's an important thing to remember. We also have, as far as the questions, they come in different forms. I just want to touch on that very briefly. There's a flu shot that you can receive, and also there's a nasal spray. As I said, this is stuff that you must discuss with your doctor, okay? Because there are times where people who should get the flu shot, I know a lot of times, I don't know if it's more effective or what, but they usually say individuals that are over 50, because I think we've already pointed out that when you're 65 or older, if you were to come down with the flu, that could become like a life-threatening situation. You could be hospitalized. There could be a lot of things that are being involved. And as I said, this is different from a bacterial infection where there are antibiotics that you can actually treat the person with. And also people that were very young. But they do have the nasal spray that is also used. And that's approved for people who are 2 years through 49 years of age. But then there's also a group of people that should not get it. You don't have the nasal spray if you're younger than 2 years and adults 50 or older. So, and also, if there's any severe allergic reaction that you must have, that's why this is a very important thing that you're doing, that you've discussed it with your doctor. But once the doctor gives you the clearance, it's up to you then. The ball is in your court as far as like taking it every year. It's something that you have every year. It's not like you're getting, I believe it's the pneumococcal vaccine. That you get, and that's good for your lifetime, or is it 10 years?
You know what? I'm not 100% sure. They always said it was good for your lifetime and that you should wait and get it later on, like over 65, right, or if you have a chronic condition, because usually you don't get it.
There's a lot of, we're not talking about vaccines. We're talking about the flu vaccine, which is different.
Pneumovax is one that they encourage anyone over 65.
Right. And there's specific, criteria. And that's what's important. Again, my days of infection control, and I still have it to this day. That's one of the things when you go into nursing, all the different aspects. I still revel at that, listening to it. But one of the important things I always learned from the infectious disease doctor is that it's always better not to get the disease than to get the disease. Even, I know, like with chickenpox, right, like varicella, chickenpox is a pretty innocuous disease that you have when you're young. But now the thought is, don't get it at all. It's always better. Yeah, and it's the same thing as far as like with the flu vaccine. You really don't want to get,
You don't want to get the flu. You really don't. And the flu, like I said before, it can be very dangerous for some people. Of course, infants, young children, people over 65, and older, women who are pregnant, and people with certain health conditions where their immune systems are weak. Mm-hmm. You know, if they get sick from the flu, they're going to have more complications on top of it.
And that's why you're always making sure that you communicate. I'm just going to give a little sidebar as far as, terms that you hear so that you're educated. I think the last time I went through this was when Congressman Chris Gibson was on when he was talking about Lyme disease. But I just want to go over three terms that you hear on a regular basis just to clarify. You hear epidemic, pandemic, and outbreak. Let me give you the distinction. Epidemic is the widespread occurrence of an infectious disease in the community at a particular time, and that's where you get the word flu epidemic. This is the time that you have it. It's a specific area. Pandemic is something that occurs worldwide. That's something they have worldwide. I guess you could say AIDS could be pandemic, that you can find it throughout the entire world. And then the last one is an outbreak. And what an outbreak is a sudden rise in an incident of a disease, and it's usually a harmful disease. One of the examples I always think about is even with, I know, Anne, your experience in the nursing home and stuff like that is sometimes there may be an outbreak where all of a sudden you have a big jump that, you know, numerous residents
could be a cluster.
You always hear about like a salmonella outbreak that, you know, someone that had eaten this food. So an outbreak is a sudden rise that happens all of a sudden. And you do see that sometimes, even as far as like with the flu, that sometimes I remember there was one time that there was no more hospital beds because so many people were afflicted mm-hmm. with the flu. I mean, some are worse seasons, some are bad seasons. I don't want to say it's the same as like the winters. Some winters are bad than others, but I guess to a certain end, that is something that could actually be possible. But now let's talk a little bit, Anne. How do you get the flu vaccine? You want to start it, or I'll chime in?
How do you get the flu vaccine?
Yes. Oh, no. I'm sorry. How do you get the flu?
How do you get the flu?
Yeah, you get the flu vaccine anywhere,
how
okay?
How do you get the flu?
Actually, you could have it at WTBQ. You have a farm. This is an absolute true story, but there's some things you'd have to apply for. Not that I'm giving Taylor or Frank any ideas, but in actuality, that is something. As long as there's a secure place, they'd look at it. But let me just talk a little bit about the transmission of the flu vaccine, okay? People think...
Not the flu vaccine. The influenza virus.
I'm still rattled from our discussion about The View and what happened at the Miss America contest. I apologize. I have to set it back. How do you actually get the flu? That's the question. How is it transmitted? How does the flu... And it's very contagious. Go ahead, Anne.
So it's airborne, which means... If you're in close proximity to somebody who has the flu and they cough near you, sneeze near you, or maybe cough into a tissue and you pick that tissue up, you actually can. Is that true?
No, Anne, I'm sorry if there's an
is
infection.
That wrong?
Yes, it is. It's wrong. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I have to, because I'm afraid there's another infection control nurse listening to the show and she's going to call. Excuse
me. Well, then don't ask me.
What it is it airborne. It's not airborne. Airborne is like tuberculosis.
Oh, it's droplet.
Where you're caught.
I'm sorry.
But no, it's not droplet either. Okay. It's by direct contact. And even when you're standing close to someone, if they sneeze on you or they cough, then it's really considered direct contact. It really is from hand-to-hand contact. That's how it's transmitted. Rick, in the control room, I could be coughing and stuff like that, but then if I leave and I shake his hand and I have a cold, guess what? He can get it, but he didn't get it because I was coughing or sneezing. That's what it is. The important thing to remember about it is, and that's why they're saying we're going to be going into the prevention of it, but it is through direct contact, okay? It's not here, but that's a technical term. Now we're talking in technical terms, but it really is, if the secretions are there, then it is something that they would actually have come in direct contact. I always laugh so often when they have during the holiday season, okay? We have like a lot of holiday seasons coming up, and they're having parties, and there's always someone that's going to say, when they greet their guests, they said, oh, no, excuse me, don't kiss me, I have a cold. And then they stick out their hand, and that's the same hand that's rubbing their nose, rubbing their eyes, and going. And that's really how it's transmitted. It's transmitted from the direct contact, okay? And as I said, we'll be going into some of the reasons why it's something that ways of preventing it. You're listening to Health Matters. Again, we are taking any calls. And when we come back, we will talk about the prevention of the transmission of the flu. Thank you.
Hello, this is Tom Babington, Vice President of A&T Healthcare. A&T Healthcare, created in 1984 by two nurses, is a family-owned and operated home health agency managed by professional nurses. We have set the highest standards of quality care. A&T Healthcare provides a full range of in-home and private duty nursing services, from live-in to hourly home health aides and companions who can assist with basic daily care needs. We also have highly trained, experienced, and skilled nurses who are qualified to provide all levels of medical case management services. A&T also offers private duty home home health aides, as well as private nurse placement for patients who are hospitalized and may have special needs or require extra attention. A&T Healthcare is dedicated to providing high-quality home health services for caregivers and families who are caring for loved ones at home with dignity. A&T provides home health services for newborns to seniors and is a New York State licensed service agency serving Rockland, Westchester, Orange, Dutchess, Putnam, Green, Ulster, Sullivan, Nassau, and Suffolk counties, as well as the five boroughs of New York City and New Jersey. When you contact A&T Healthcare, one of their trained and dedicated skilled nursing professionals will provide you with answers to those complicated questions at the time when you truly need someone to take your hand and help you through the maze of healthcare. For more information, please visit our website, at-healthcare.com, or call 845-638-4342 and get the answers that will give you peace of mind.
Hi, this is Dan Castricone. Join me every Thursday from 12 to 1 on WTBQ for the Dan Castricone Radio Show. We'll take your phone calls, have exciting guests, talk about current events, maybe a little politics. Thursdays from 12 to 1 on WTBQ.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treeboiser.
And we're the hosts of Radio Rotary, heard every Saturday morning at 11:30.
Each week we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world.
Radio Rotary.
Right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ weather.
Our nice weather will continue the next few days. A little increase in the temperatures. We will see lots of sunshine today with our highs into the low and middle 80s. Tonight, fair to partly cloudy, 50 to 55. For tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high into the low and mid 80s. Fair at night with a low 50 to 55, some patchy fog. And on Saturday, look for mostly sunny skies again with a high in the low to mid 80s. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salima.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Feller, Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services, also at A&T Healthcare. We're having a wonderful discussion on the flu vaccine. We've covered as far as that the importance of talking to your doctor before you take the flu vaccine. Make sure that he or she understand, you know, that you've discussed it with your doctor and that he or she understands that, you know, the importance of it, as well as, you know, to see whether it might be contraindicated. And as I said, there are rare cases where, when I say contraindicated, that you should not get it. And that's why it's always important that you discuss it with your physician. Also, as far as getting the actual injection or even getting the nasal spray, those are all things that you really should be discussing with your doctor at all times. We talked about the mode of transmission, that we were talking about how it is transmitted. And one of the things...
What does that mean, transmitted?
How you get it from one person to the other. We said at the beginning where we were talking about when you should get the vaccine. You can get it now. You can absolutely get it now. I've already gotten mine. And that we said it, the flu season is really from October to May, but it peaks between December and February. And I just wanted to enlighten everyone. I know that a lot of times you have these little discussions and stuff, and they say, when do you get the most... when do you get most colds? Is it in the wintertime or the summer? You always hear, well, someone has a summer cold or what have you. Well, the correct answer is the wintertime. And what is the driving force because you would get that particular flu or cold in the wintertime? And that's why I said December and February, is that as the winter goes, the days are shorter, it gets colder, so people are not outside as much. They spend a lot more time indoors, okay? And when you spend indoors, and if someone is sick, you have a greater opportunity that it can be transmitted. And that's really the long and the short of it, is that we're not outdoors as much. We're indoors for a more extended period of time. We're in closed areas. And those are all perfect opportunities where it can be spread from one person to the other. So right now, what we would like to do, we would like to discuss ways of preventing the flu. And that's always a big thing. I know when we talked about Lyme disease, about, you know, the importance of preventing it, okay? There's one thing when you get it, but these are ways in which you can help yourself as far as doing. Of course, you all know about getting the flu vaccine. I think that's the major ways. The single best way to prevent seasonal flu is to get vaccinated each year. And that's what we also clarified. It's something that should be done each year. So, Ann, why don't I start with you? What are some ways in which we can prevent the flu from contracting the flu, or preventing from contracting the flu during the season?
Well, of course, avoiding close contact. You do see a lot of times people don't always shake hands during the time of flu season. You should be washing your hands more frequently. And of course, if you have symptoms, you want to stay home if you're sick. You want to avoid coming in close contact with people because you don't want to make somebody sick either.
And that's why, like, even as Ann said, it's like the shaking hands. That's what it is. If you rub your eye, and a lot of times people do, you don't even realize you're doing it, okay? It's like you just rub your eye, you don't even think about
right.
it. I know at church, it wasn't at our parish, yeah, but I know at one church, someone came into work and said, oh, during that part, you know, when you say the hi to person, they said, right. don't shake hands or anything like that because it's the flu season.
During the peace, yeah.
You said, you know, you say peace to all the, you know, the parishioners.
Well,
that are there.
I actually carry a little alcohol-based hand cleanser, so I do use it sometimes after shaking someone's hand, which isn't because I think you have cooties, but
yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to.
I know. I'm usually like that.
Protect myself.
I shake people's hands all the time. I people say, Peter, you should be a politician. You're always shaking everyone's hand. I remember I showed my dermatologist, and I reached my hand out to shake it. Oh, he wouldn't shake, but he gave me his elbow. So, oh no, I never shake hands with my patient.
That is something that they teach kids to do.
Yeah, like do the elbow now, the closed fist, and stuff like that.
Sometimes, but you know, it's true because you do. You shouldn't be covering your nose. You should cover your nose and mouth when you're sneezing or coughing, but you shouldn't be using your bare hand.
Right, right.
Because
right.
those germs, those viruses are getting on your hand, and then you're touching something else, and then you're spreading that virus.
Right.
You should use a tissue and then dispose of it. But they do teach the children in school to cough into their
arm.
The crook of
yeah.
their arm
yeah.
instead of, you know, into their hand.
Okay. I know we don't do this anymore, but it was always like you'd have handkerchiefs. Remember handkerchiefs? I mean, and again, I'm a microbiologist also, but you're blowing your nose.
Well,
and
your
then
dad probably always had a handkerchief.
Putting it in your pocket. I just remember that episode of The Honeymooners one time. Norton came down. He wanted to ask Ralph, hey, can I borrow a handkerchief? So Ralph goes through his drawer, and he pulls out the handkerchief, and he says, hey, Norton, for show, not for blow and stuff like that. But it is back in the 50s, so Ralph knew what was going on.
I mean, handkerchiefs was a gift that we always gave our parents,
yes.
our father, our grandfather, and things like that. And you still use it for show. Maybe not as much as a useful tool. But definitely avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth, and washing your hands. If a sink is not and soap is not available, those alcohol-based hand sanitizers are always very helpful.
I know A&T, a lot of times when we do a marketing event, we do have, and
we have
people
little samples
they grab
people,
those samples
yeah.
and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I always say to them, better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And it's a little small thing that you can put in your pocketbook or in your car even or something like that. But it is a quick fix that you can do. But as we always say, it's not something to replace washing your hands. It might be something to do in the short term, but then you still ultimately have to be washing your hands because that starts to build up after a while.
Now, something that started back in 2013 in the state of New York for healthcare workers, they wanted all healthcare workers to receive the influenza vaccine. Well, that's a very daunting task and it's very complicated. So in 2013, the state of New York developed a regulation for hospitals, nursing homes, and home care, and even surgical centers, day treatment centers, those kind of places are also required to do this. But if we are not vaccinated against the flu, we have to wear a mask
working. This is a regulation. This isn't something that we decided to do. And
so you might, if you've been in a hospital in the past 2 years, you might have seen employees walking around with surgical masks on. And it's very confusing to people, like, well, why are they wearing a mask?
What disease
do they have? Or what's going on in the hospital that I should be concerned about? But it actually is helping to, they believe that this helps to prevent the spread of any influenza that the employee might be bringing in to the facility and then spreading it to their patients
and
other employees as well.
Yeah.
So if you haven't been vaccinated, you are required by the state of New York to wear a mask when taking care of your patients when in the hospital.
Or the home care.
Or the home care
that's on the A&T has to adhere to.
Home. And so, you know, you're going to see more and more of this happening. And we encourage employees. We give them information about getting the flu vaccine and the importance of it. It's up to them to take the vaccine. But if they don't, then our employees have to wear a mask. And that is actually during the time that New York State Commissioner of Health declares that flu is considered widespread mm-hmm. in the state of New York. And it's monitored very closely. And we in the healthcare industry, we watch it very closely as well, because we have to pay attention to what's going on in our facilities, in our home settings. And when it is considered widespread, we have to be sure that our employees are complying
right.
with this.
That's right. Now, there's another part I just wanted to add to that, Anna. Now, as I said, my days of infection control, many of the hospital administrators, you know, looked at infection control and they got mad. But one of the important things is that if you are sick, stay home. You should not go to work if you're sick. Remember I said that thing about you're in close quarters, you're working around. If you're sick, then you become the source of other people becoming infected. So if you are sick, you should not be working. I know the administrators didn't like, we don't want people calling in sick and saying this, but the reality is the same. You know, there are some, you know, as they say, it's a two-way street. I train everyone, you know this in nursing school, where you become a home health care aide or a personal care aide, is that we do not want the employees to become infected by the patient, but it is a two-way street. We don't want you to be infecting the patient, and that's all one of the things that comes with it when we talk about you know, the importance of the mode of transmission, that if you are sick, you should not do, and that will help it from spreading to other people. Anything else on that?
So what does the flu vaccine do? It keeps you from getting the flu. It also can keep you from getting, if you do get the flu, it will be less severe. And yes, you can get the flu even though you've had the flu vaccine because the flu vaccine it doesn't always contain every protection against every virus. So you might get the flu some nature.
Okay, you are listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we will be going over Mythbusters, different myths that you hear about the flu and the flu vaccine and how it's transmitted. Health.
ANC Healthcare, committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, ANC Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-343-3949 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Stacey Lawrence of the Greenwood Lake Garden Center here with my co-host,
Kevin Sweeney of the Windermere Agency.
We would love it if you all would join us every Friday from 11 to 12 on WTBQ for Greenwood Lake Radio.
All Greenwood Lake, all the time.
That jazz.
This is Frank Lowell. Tune in every Sunday morning at 9 and Sunday night at 11 for And All That Jazz on WTBQ. You'll hear music of every style. It's the most eclectic show on radio.
That jazz.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health matters. And the topic that we're having is the flu. And as I said, your health does matter. And as such, it's very important that you don't get the flu. And we've been talking about how you can get it, ways of preventing it, and the importance of it. There are some, you want to talk a little bit, Ann, as far as that there are some people that should not get the vaccine. I know I said this is something that you do have to discuss with your doctor, but if someone, but why don't you just go over that particular issue
for us? Right, there are some people that are recommended to not get the flu vaccine for because of age or health conditions or other reasons. You certainly should talk to your healthcare provider to help you decide. It might be, you should be sure to tell your healthcare provider of any allergies you may have, such as allergies to eggs, or if you've ever had an allergic reaction to a flu vaccine before. And it depends on what kind of reaction. Like some people say, oh, I had a reaction. Well, it was a little stiff arm, which is not really a severe reaction. But of course, if you've ever had a reaction to an influenza vaccine, if you've ever had Guillain-Barré syndrome, if you have any long-term heart, breathing, kidney, liver, or nervous system problems, that's why it's important to talk to your healthcare provider. Some people with breathing problems, if you are pregnant, children or adolescents who are receiving aspirin for a reason or an aspirin product. So, it is important to see your physician if you have concerns, questions. You can also talk to your pharmacist. We know
yes.
that
oh, Michael.
Whenever
Michael
comes on, he always does tell us, because when you go to the pharmacy and they also give the injections.
They can administer.
Yes.
The
pharmacist vaccine. Can give
can do that. Yes,
injections
yes, that's that
well,
is correct.
So.
That's another one. So it's I should have added that to the MythBusters, but that only nurse can
that's
do
right.
something like that.
Nurses and doctors and physicians.
Right. I want to very quickly go is that sometimes, remember I said before about that some winters are colder than others or what have you, not that that's a direct relation to how bad the flu is. However, there are some flus that are more contagious than others. And every so often this happens, like the flu vaccines are from manufacturers. Okay, and sometimes they run into a shortage that too many people need it, and then people say, "Oh, I'm going to get it because everyone's sick," and that's why I say everyone should be doing it. But the idea is there sometimes is a shortage, and what they do then is they have to triage is that there are certain people that are at higher risk, and of course those are the individuals 65 or older.
Actually, it's I think 50 or older.
Oh wow! Okay.
And children aged 6 months through 4 years. And people with chronic breathing problems, and people who are immunosuppressed.
So there's an actual priority as far as someone who would be able to get it. That's why I say get it early, and then it is done. All right, and let's go to MythBusters. Oh, I don't know where the time goes. But let's talk about MythBusters. This is something that people say all the time, and I've heard it many times.
Well, I'm
and
not
I've read.
Getting the flu shot because. That's right. Always get the flu.
Okay. Now.
Is that true?
The next person that says that, oh, I never get, thank you, Aaron. Whoever, I always get the flu when I get it. I did touch on it earlier, but the idea is that if you do get the vaccine, what happens is that it takes 2 weeks before you get the protection from it. And what happens is it's just coincidental because, as I said, you get the flu vaccine when it's the flu season. So it's consistent that you could be exposed to it at that time. So no. The answer to that is no. You do not get the flu because you had the flu vaccine.
Well, what about I had the flu vaccine last year. I don't need it again.
No. It has to. It's an annual thing. This isn't something like you get rubella, mumps, or even we talked a little bit about the pneumococcal one. This is one that has to be each year. And what they do is they try to finesse it so that it is more indicative of the particular virus
right.
that may be present. What about this one? I already had the flu, so I don't need to get the vaccine. I already had it. That's it's too late. Done. Over
yeah,
and done.
Yeah. Oh no, flu season. You can only get it in October.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
That,
well, and sometimes people, but that's wrong because there are different strains of it, and that even though you had the flu, it doesn't mean that you're immune from other flus that may be present. So you would still get it. That was the other one I said. Oh, it's already after December. It's too late. I can't get it. No, it goes all the way until the month of May. So please don't use something like that. What about this one, Anna? There's a lot to talk on this one. Well, I got the flu vaccine, and now I'm not going to get the flu. Okay, so we already touched on the first one. That's wrong. That's incorrect. The first reason is that we said that it may not have had the resistance yet. You need like at least like 2 weeks before you start getting the resistance of it. The other one is that it might not be a good match, and Ann did talk about that. When I say it's not a good match, is that it's not an exact duplicate of the particular virus that's present, and as such, you still can get the disease. However, Ann did say the severity would be a lot less. Okay, that's always the thing. Don't think, oh, well, why should I get the flu vaccine? I can still get the flu. Yes, but it might not be as severe. Okay, right. It might not be as severe. And then I want to say this. This is in very rare occasions, okay? And, you know, life isn't fair sometimes, okay? But unfortunately, some people can become infected with the flu virus and the flu vaccine because the idea is that it just doesn't work for them. It just doesn't
some
work.
Some people could just resist the building the antibody or the resistance against the disease.
So, right. Yeah. I know, like, even with the hepatitis B vaccine, that was one that was going on. And, you know,
a lot... It still goes on.
It still goes on, but they had to change it as far as where it used to be in the buttocks, and now they said, no, it should be in the arm because they weren't developing the immunity to it, and that's where they really had to make some modifications. So as I said, there can be isolated times when something like that may happen where, you know, they're not able to, you know, get the resistance for the protection, I should say, from the flu vaccine. Let's go over some highlights. And you want to go over some highlights? There's other things that you wanted to cover? Because I just know we've had a lot of information, and I just want to make sure that we highlight the important things as far as, like, you know, the prevention of getting the vaccine. Why don't you start, Ann? Go ahead.
Well, I do want to say that the flu is a contagious disease. Just a reminder, it does spread around the United States every year, usually between the months of October and May. The flu is caused by a virus, mainly by coughing, sneezing, and close contact. Anyone can get the flu. It strikes very suddenly. It includes a fever, chills, coughing, sneezing, muscle aches, sore throat, runny nose, kind of similar to cold symptoms. It can lead to pneumonia and blood infections. It can be very dangerous for some people to get sick with the flu, and you can prevent it. Mm-hmm. The flu vaccine can keep you from getting the flu, make the flu less severe, if you do get it, and also keep you from spreading it to your family and other people.
And that's the main way of preventing any, by getting the vaccine. That's what is so important. We keep stressing that. Discuss it with your doctor. We also said about the preventive thing as far as, like, washing your hands regularly, you know, making sure you wash your hands regularly. You know, if someone's coughing or sneezing, kind of stand a little bit away from them and stuff
yeah,
like that.
A little bit of a germaphobe.
There was a hysterical commercial that was on. I just saw recently. The person was having his birthday, and he had this beautiful cake with all the candles, and he's coughing. And he's like blowing out all the candles and coughing, and then he said, "Who wants cake?" And everyone said, "Oh no!" And then the one lady had, "I love cake," and then she starts covering it up so he wouldn't see it. And what was the commercial for? Get the flu vaccine. I think it was Walgreens or something like that. I hope I didn't
pharmacy.
Get the really a hysterical one commercial. Commercial. But it's kind of like the thing.
But it's true. Like, I'm a little bit of a germaphobe. I might not get on the line at the grocery store if the clerk is coughing and sneezing. I might get on a different line.
You just have to look at it, and that's why we save all employees. If you're sick, you should not be going to work. This was a great. This is a great show.
Well, we're going to bring you more information.
We would have more information
flu
on it, but this is important. I mean, this is. You always have to be proactive, and we always talk about the prevention, about what you do. It's always better not to get the disease than to be exposed to the disease. So I see we're just about out of time. Next week, we're going to have a very different one. We're going to be talking about living healthy and enjoying your retirement, like what you can do in your retirement. As far as the exercise, we're going to have a professional dancers on,
hint, hint.
And we're going to have a good friend of mine, Mr. Robert Parator, who will be calling in. He's from Charlotte, and that's Nassau County. I'm sorry, Nassau Country. Excuse me, I stand corrected. So he'll have some
NASCAR
comments. But he's been retired for many years, and he really, I know Ann asked me, Peter, who's the healthiest friend you have? I said, it's got to be Bob. To you, we're out of time. To you, your friends, stay healthy because your health matters. And to you, your family and friends, all the best. See you next week. Bye-bye now. Take care.
Bye-bye.